Field coming. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the council meeting to order. We have an agenda circulated. There are a couple of changes. Item 7-2 is off as that whole matter is completed. Under 8-1, we've got drag races, and then I think we're going to get a report for 8-2 on the VIC update information. 10-2, we're going to get an update on the town lake. I know people have been inquiring and are interested as to its level and so on. And 17-5 in camera contract negotiations. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add or take off the agenda? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve it as amended. Deputy Mayor Norman, seconded by Councilor Fisk. All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. Now I'd like to call on Pierre Lozier to come forward, and he's going to talk about Datsarap food concession. Morning, Pierre. How are you?
Your Worship, Honorable Councilors, Region of Queens staff, members of the public, and the media. My name is Pierre Lozier, resident of this county and owner-operator of Datsarap Food Truck. My purpose here today is to present to you some counterpoints to comments made to Council on June 14, 2016. My views on the benefits of food trucks in Queens County and their involvement in our future. Unethical, banned, unregulated. These are some of the terms, negative terms, used to describe the arrival of food trucks to Liverpool. These words were uttered by some well-established brick-and-mortar businesses, and even a new startup. But maybe I shouldn't be surprised since birds of a feather flock together. Now, such comments may have been retracted following social media backlash, but they're not forgotten. But more importantly, they underscore the true attitude of these businesses towards competition with a leaner, more effective business model. They claim we operate mostly unregulated. However, we must acquire the same provincial food establishment permit as they do. And although some bylaws may require minor revisions, many of the bylaws cited in the June 14th, 2016 presentation were taken completely out of context. I, as a food truck vendor, have always worked in collaboration with the Region of Queens through its bylaw official to provide a safe, legal vending operation. These brick and mortar owners lament that they pay high commercial taxes, but what they fail to mention is that commercial property taxes, unlike each and everyone's residential tax, is fully deductible as an operating expense. Furthermore, Kitchen and Slack's 2014 report titled Municipal Property Taxation in Nova Scotia indicates that these businesses in Queens County benefit from one of the lowest taxation rates in the province. Oh, and by the way, food truck vendors, they pay a fair share of fuel tax, although it is deducted. On the subject of the use of public parking and facilities on the waterfront, let us be clear that obtaining a vending permit does not guarantee, reserve, or rent a spot for a food truck to operate, but rather, it provides an agreed upon allowance by the municipality for us to do business in an otherwise unoccupied and underutilized location. As for the surrounding public utilities, such as washrooms and parks, they are there, and they're available for the use by everyone, regardless of if a food truck is there or not. And if we happen to attract more people to the downtown and they use these facilities, isn't that a good thing? But let's talk about something more positive. And that's what a food truck industry can bring to Queens County. Contrary to what certain individuals might think or say, food trucks complement existing brick and mortar eating establishments. They provide more choice to the consumer. Their popularity has grown tremendously in larger urban areas. They're even the subject of TV reality shows. In fact, just this past summer, Global Television in Halifax featured a number of local food truck vendors on their Food Truck Friday segments. And now that vibe is resonating out of the city. There's been successful food truck rallies in Hubbard's, Lunenburg, and just this last weekend in Bridgewater with their second annual Fresh Air Food Truck Festival. Let's catch that wave, folks. Because of their mobile business model, food trucks can become a community's ambassador, showcasing other local businesses by incorporating their products into the foods that they offer. Think of the microbreweries, growers of produce, meat farmers, baked goods, and so on. And if you dare to believe it, a food truck can even literally become a vehicle for growth, an opportunity for a forward-thinking brick-and-mortar establishment to branch out. Now, I'll agree that the current vending permit fee can be considered nominal. But I would ask this. What incremental costs, if any, are incurred by the municipality by having food trucks operate on public property? And if the fee is increased, what value will I get in return for these additional dollars? A food truck park? Access to water and power? Will access without exception be granted to the property of the publicly owned Queens Place Merit Center? Will revisions to the vending bylaws and fees impact all individual and group vendors proportionally? And what effect will fee increases have on attracting or retaining vendors to our successful privateer days? There is much to consider. In order to grow, you must have a vision of your path forward. And yes, sometimes you have to think outside the box and dream big. Picture this. In the old Legion site, a food vending slash farmers market courtyard encircling a multi-seasonal shelter where people can gather to enjoy their newly purchased treats. To your right, adjacent to Centennial Park, an aquatic splash pad at Shelburne's new Grand Park. In combination with a riverside saltwater pool, similar to Chester's Lido Pool. And to your left, in the east corner of Privateer Park, envisage a sunken, shell-shaped outdoor amphitheater. Looking out onto the park, where visitors can enjoy music, theater productions, and movies. Such a multifaceted facility can definitely host events like our Privateer Days. I did say you had to go big. And yes, I know that this will take money. But Rome wasn't built in a day, and this project can definitely be phased in. It is this community's choice to pull the lid down and remain inside the box, or to chance prosperity. Now, before I conclude, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all those individuals and businesses who have expressed support for food trucks in Queens County, and to all the patrons who enjoy Back to the Rock and encourage me to continue my venture. I appreciate your attention, and I'm happy to submit a copy of this presentation for council records. The public and media groups can view a copy of my presentation on That's Rap's Facebook page. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rozier. I was going to ask you for a copy of your presentation, so thank you for volunteering it. Council, any questions of Mr. Rozier? Council Fancy.
Yes, Pierre. Again, the one thing you had mentioned there about the fresh air, I see. I think that was the second year down in Bridgewater.
That's correct.
And the last year, it went off major. I mean,
yes.
They brought all kinds of people with all kinds of different foods in, which was, it just, they didn't know how big it was going to go. And I think definitely it's things of the future of us, what where we need to go with these type of things.
Because
then you find out what even what the flavor, what people really want. It's hard to tell until you get into things like that. And like I said, they didn't think it was going to go big, and it went huge on them.
It went very big on them.
Yeah.
And this year, we expanded, didn't get as big a turnout as last year, but still a great turnout.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff going on last weekend, but still it was very successful. And the real marker here is that you had a lot of food. We were four or five last year. This year, I think we were 10 or 11 trucks, some trucks backed out at the last minute. So you had those trucks from Halifax who've been doing the coast rallies in the city. I mean, they hear about these successful ones. And it wasn't just Bridgewater. I was the one in Lunenburg. That was really successful.
Okay.
I didn't make the one in Hubbard's, but I heard that also was very, very successful. So yeah, like I said, it's a vibe. It's coming out of the city, and we're in its path, right?
Councilor McLeod.
Pierre, I have been a counselor for 12 years now, and all of my experience with presentations, I have to say yours was one of the best. Very well prepared, very illustrated, and I appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
And I have, I understand, and I understand why you wanted to make the presentation. You've given us, pardon the pun, a lot of food for thought, and I wish you the best, and you make the great wraps.
Thank you.
Councilor Fisk.
The area that you're located in, do you appreciate the area?
You mean the one at the old Legion?
Yeah.
Yes.
To me, it seems like we've got to start somewhere. I think it's a good spot. Is it as good, as visible as the parking lot next to the Vic? I would say no, because people see you right off the bridge and stuff. You're a little more in the thick of things. And I do know some of my other food trailers, I guess I'll say, have commented that they feel that it's not as visible spot. But like I say, you've got to start somewhere, you've got to build it, and it's going to take some time to transition there, right?
This past summer, were you successful with business?
Success is hard to define.
Okay.
Did I make money? But anybody who runs a business will tell you that it can take 3, 4, 5 years, And I have certain challenges that we can discuss afterwards, all I can say is I'm well received. People like the product that I make. And I've got a lot of people saying, oh, I've heard about you and I've got to go try you and blah, blah, blah. So I hear a lot of that, so that's good to me. That is what encourages me to stay, and I have I have a mission here with this. This is my business, and I want to bring healthy, good food to Queens, and so I'm going to continue on.
Just one more comment to carry on from Councilor McLeod. It was a very, very good presentation. I appreciate your presence, and very good.
Thank you very much.
A couple things I thought about. As you know, council changes in October.
Certainly.
And that land that you wish to expand upon and create this, which I think is a great idea, a food truck area, things like signage, but perhaps the most important thing, in the land use planning, that's just there is general, and if someone popped up tomorrow and went to buy that, I'm sure it'd be sold.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as you go forward, that's something that you'll need to get in stone, that one way or the other, that land needs to be written off in such a way. So if you're going to plan a future and look down the road,
yeah, well, this
then
community
you don't
needs
want
to decide. This community needs to decide what they want to do with it, right?
That's right.
I mean, to me, it's a focal point to bring people downtown,
mm-hmm.
not just for business, but for, as I stated,
that's
a
right.
whole bunch of other things. And as you might have noticed, I pointed out some facilities that are very close nearby
right.
that exist that you can go and get information on.
Councilor Frelick.
Pierre, is there anything to prevent you at the moment from moving back over on the waterfront?
No, absolutely not. There's nothing
that,
that prevents me.
To go.
And I have made it clear several times that when I moved over, when we all moved over to run to our operations at the old Legion site, that we were not relinquishing our desire to be able to vend on public property. And I know some of them have actually did move back a little bit in their last days here before closing up. They did move back there. So as long as when you park at the Vic parking lot that you're doing it safely, that's why we, you know, I know there's been issues about barricades and stuff like that, but as long as you park safely for the patrons, right? That's my only concern about going back there.
And is there any issue about the lines that are existing there? That if we change the lines, would that make it easier for you as a vendor?
No, I don't see that being an issue.
Okay.
That was brought up, I know, again, completely out of context. You know, that bylaw number 8, I believe, for parking, that's if you and I bring our vehicles there. That's the law that we have to follow. Once
right.
I get a permit for vending, then I deal with
right.
the bylaw officer, and we make sure that we park there safely. That's understood. You know, I've dealt with regulations
mm-hmm.
in my old job. I you know, they can't cover everything, and they have to be taken within context, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see any need for changing the lines or anything like that.
Great, thanks. Great presentation.
Thank you so much for your presentation. It was insightful. Sorry, have I shut anybody off? I didn't see anybody. It's insightful. It certainly gives us food for thought as we plan for next year, or the next council plans
yep.
for next year. So thank you very much.
Yep.
We appreciate it, and we appreciate the way you've worked with our staff, too. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sure.
And also I'd like to add, I'm sure you've already thought about it, next year is the 150th anniversary of our country.
Mm-hmm.
So I would believe that there's probably
150 food.
I think we'd have to pull from other provinces,
yeah.
But you know, there's probably
lots of opportunities.
Fundings there, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Pierre.
Give us a copy of that.
That brings us to item 4 on the agenda: tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to be tabled? Going. Then item 5, public questions. I see some new faces in the group, so the rules are give your name and street address, and we try and limit it to about 5 minutes.
5 minutes, did you say, Mr. Green?
Yes, did you hear that?
Yes.
Would you make sure that's recorded in a minute?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Leon Robertson, College Street in Liverpool. Just a couple things. Listening to the presentation that just finished there, it was very interesting comments, very good presentation. And I noticed, I believe, in the comments there, I heard about the future of maybe Privateers Park down there. Well, you know, it's utilized fully on 2 or 3 times a year, and it's something that perhaps maybe this council or the new council, when they come on, can take a look at. And I know there's been suggestions, I believe, by the Chamber of Commerce a few years ago, we'll maybe have a bandstand down there or whatever. I think that park could be utilized much more. It's a beautiful area, and overlooking the Mersey River and so on. So that's something to keep in mind. And it's nice to see when you have a gentleman like this come in and look at Queens County and coming here with his business. and hopefully very progressively at it. It's nice to see that. We need more of those people.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is I noticed under 8.1, there's going to be a presentation there or information with respect to the Grand Commissioners Association. I noticed the present contract is not up until May, and we're looking at 8 months ahead changing, but I guess that is because there's some changes to it that need to be made to the present contract, and the new contract will be for a 15-year period.
That's
is
right.
That the reasoning?
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. One other thing, and I'm not 5 minutes yet, I don't think. The Royal Transit study, it was good to see that the province came through there with a $15,000 grant to work on that study. And I think it's something that we need to take a serious look at, and something that we do need in Royal Queens and the areas that's been mentioned for people to be able to get around at a reasonable rate. There's just one thing is down the road, as we know, these Royal Transit systems and so on, they've been implemented in areas such as in the places in the valley and so on. And just one thing to keep in mind, usually it means that there's usually a deficit on that type of situation, and one that normally has to be made up by the local taxpayers. So that's something to keep in mind when we're going through, but it's certainly something that should be looked at and that we do need. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I think that took 3.5 minutes.
I'm sure you will be here to remind the next council about the deficits too. It's a
I plan to be.
Is anybody else who'd like to address council?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Bill Cox, 121 Bog Road. A couple of items, if I may. First of all, I would like to speak to agenda item 14.1, the ice rental cancellation policy. Excuse me. As former member of the Queens of Mar Arena Board from 1991 till Arena was taken over by the municipality in 2009. This is an item that came up on the agenda a number of times. And each time we did not come up with a satisfactory answer to deal with this particular item. The cancellations usually fall under two reasons, one being the weather and second transportation. Usually the cancellations result as a result of the local team being unable to get another team to play them at the last minute for the same reason that the outside team has found it necessary to cancel. If it's bad weather, parents will not take their children on the road. Adult groups, even if you give them enough notice, will not travel in very bad weather unless they have a bus or something like that, that they can all travel together and hope that they're going to make it through the weather. In transportation, this pertains more to the more elite teams when you get bus breakdowns and this sort of thing. The result of changing from 3 days to 7 days is that the problem is only compounded. First of all, you don't know what the weather's going to be in 7 days' time. Even if Cindy does say that she has an 82% accuracy in her weather forecast, it doesn't always pan out for a Saturday in particular. The other thing is that if it is a mechanical breakdown for your transportation, don't know that that's going to take place until you actually get the bus loaded, you turn the key and something doesn't work, then all of a sudden you're in a panic. Sometimes alternate is available. The result of all of these things is that it's the local group who has signed the contract for a block of vice rentals. What happens here is that the organization, be it minor hockey or figure skating club or one of the elite teams who happens to have a majority of their players from the local area, is that they end up paying for the ice as for the policy, but what you do, you lose it at the end because they have run out of money. Now in the past I have noted that because the local team makes the playoffs, the parents who have already paid $400 or $500 registration, paid for additional practices, sold chocolate bars, sold tickets, and chased around to participate in other fundraising projects, now have to dig a little deeper to come up with money to cover the ice time at a time when their most important games are before them, that being in the playoffs. The only advantage of your change in policy is that it gives a hammer to your general manager in the event that somebody gets the idea that it's a contract, but I don't really have to do it because I'm sure that Steve will waive this after I give him a telephone call. I know that three members of the current council have served on the arena boards in the past, and at least two of them have been there when this subject has been dealt with. And other than to use this as a stick when in need, and I would suggest that you give a little discretion to the general manager in regard to that particular policy. Your amendment, in my perspective and my experience, is that it is only to increase the weight of the stick. Now, on the other subject of the Royal Transit feasibility study, I think that this is timely that we do this again. We are losing our seniors, but we still have more seniors coming to take their place. And as far as shopping locally, they are captive to where their offspring are doing their shopping. And in a lot of cases, they are being trucked off to Bridgewater to spend their dollars rather than being transported to the downtown area or over to Exit 19 or whatever to shop locally. A lot of seniors are accustomed to shopping locally, but the younger people have much more availability of transportation and they can make it an outing for the day, and they prefer to do that in a larger center. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. Is there anybody else who'd like to, Mr. Dagley?
Thank you, Mayor Clark. David Dagley, 9 Metapon Lane, Liverpool. Mayor Clark, I think most attending are aware that there was vandalism in Privateer Park of the Dogwood commemorative tree, and I'm wondering what the intention of the region would be with regards to replacement of that tree at this point in time.
The matter has not been discussed. We are still looking for the vandals because it wasn't a single act, and no decision's been made, and probably no need to make that decision now because given the drought and given the time of year, you'd be much better off to plant. If you're going to plant, you'd do much better to do it in the spring than now.
And I would agree with that.
Make that decision.
I would agree with that.
And if that's a bad place for it, and it may be, then I'm sure that we need to have another commemorative tree to replace that one. Maybe we can find a better spot for it.
And I would add, perhaps council may consider whether a camera would be required in that area, and certainly one of the light poles that are there would provide a viewing area of that localized problem.
All of that is under consideration at the present time. It's been part of a discussion, and it's all in the discussion stage.
Thank you. The region recently advertised potable water being available at the well, and certainly we're in a very dry period of the year, exceedingly dry compared to past years. And the well water, of course, is available to residents locally as well as everyone in the county. I don't know if council's aware, but it has put an increased usage upon the well. People have shown up in recent weeks with half-ton trucks filled with 5-gallon pails, with larger tanks. They have put a huge amount of drainage on the well resource, to the point where some people who were picking up water found that it had sucked the bottom of the wells and had brought sediment in their water, and they had to dump it out. So when I see the advertisement, I'm a little concerned that we're adding pressure to that well, and I'm wondering if the region has the ability to provide access to a tap for purposes of additional water, due to low water at their residence, from the town water supply through a water line pipe outlet to take some of the pressure off of the well area.
I'm very surprised to hear that the well is running out. I was on council, on Liverpool's town council, when the well was put in, and the volume of water, I think the well's 54 feet deep. The water, the amount of water is huge that came out of that, and you could check back into the 1970s and find that report. But be that as it may, we as a region, I'm sure, will do all we can to help people who are short of water. If it means putting in a tap somewhere or several taps somewhere, then I'm sure we will do that too. So we made the offer last week to use the showers and so on at Queen's Place. We will continue to work with the public as closely as we can, and we will err on the side of over making it too easy and using too much water rather than not enough, because I realize it's very bad times for people. I ran into someone, I'm sure you're on the Hustings just as I am, I ran into someone the other day whose well had been dry since the 1st of June. So it's, you know, it's a huge problem. We realize that, and we will do all that we can to help people.
And that's appreciated, and I would agree that many residents are having problems. The well certainly does not go dry. It gets taken down by volume, our town wells, and then it replenishes.
But I understand.
Certainly a quick draw over a period of the day lowers that level. Thank you for those comments on that issue. I'm sure the region will help the residents where possible. Under item 12.1, the recommendation is to have the general manager of Queen's Place to report to the new director of recreation instead of CAO Richard McClellan. This will cause an increase to the new director of recreation position at 6 salary pay level increase from level 15 to 21. And I'm wondering what the cost of increasing that reporting system would be in those pay scales of 6 levels. Could you perhaps explain?
I didn't have that. Would you have that, Tom?
I think what you're asking is what's the difference. So the previous pay band went up to mid-60s, and this pay band goes up to, so there's overlap in them, I believe, in some case. No, so mid-60s for the previous pay band, and this pay band goes up to about 82. So.
And could I ask the reason for changing the reporting procedure from CAO to recreation director?
Yeah, and that goes back to two things. So one, during our strategic work on Queen's Place, it was fairly strongly conveyed that there was a desire to improve recreation working with Queen's Place. Queen's Place is a recreation facility. I can't find evidence when looking at other municipalities where you would have a recreation facility not report to a recreation director. So clearly it's a recreation asset. It's our primary recreation. No, I wouldn't say primary. It's one of our major recreation assets, and it needs to be operated in sync with the recreation strategy and the overall recreation plan. We need to leverage that asset as much as possible.
And thank you for that response. My memory back to 2009 may not be correct, but my memory of it is that Queen's Place was built to be a events center, an economic generator, and I guess if the region so wishes to now classify it as a recreational facility, then that's fine. I was just looking for clarification as to where we were headed in the future in this direction.
Well, I would certainly consider entertainment part of recreation. I don't know how you define it any other way. So it certainly is a recreation facility. It is an entertainment facility. The challenge is to make sure that both are used as heavily as they can. So it will be debated by council, and we'll see how that debate goes.
That's great. Now I have one more question. Under the job description for a director of recreation, down under general duties and responsibility, the third bullet, it says in that bullet, provides policy, programming, and investment advice to the Council of the Region of Queens. And I'm wondering if you could explain what the investment advice means in that bullet.
So what assets we need to plan for? So do we need a pool? Do we need a skating rink? Do we need a soccer stadium? Those would be things that you'd be looking for coming from a recreational asset strategy or plan.
And what you might need to do, for example, to tie in North Queens and Central Queens.
Yeah. So, or capital investment.
Okay, so it's not really investment advice, it's capital investment advice.
No, not stocks and bonds.
Okay, thank you very much.
I wouldn't have thought, in the context, I wouldn't have thought it could have been stocks and bonds. Is there anybody else who would like to address council? Okay, then gone. The next item on the agenda is item six. We have the regular minutes, the meeting of August the 23rd. Councillor Inglis moving their acceptance. Councillor Frelick seconding that motion. All in favour? It's unanimous, thank you. And that brings us to dangerous and unsightly premises, item 7.1.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Kellyanne, are you leading this one?
I am.
Thank you. So first one that we need a motion, and Councillor Fisk will make the motion.
I recommend that the Region of Queens declare the property located on at 4473 Highway 210, Buckfield, Queens County, Nova Scotia, as dangerous and unsightly as defined in the Municipal Government Act of Nova Scotia, and that the Region of Queens cause an order to be served upon the owner of the property requiring that within 7 days of the date of the serve of the order, the following work be carried out. Number one, removal of existing brush intertwined throughout the adjacent property line and removal of all hanging glass bottles and that may ignite any dry undergrowth. And that if the owners fail to comply with the order, the administration may cause the requirements of the order to be carried out and all expenses occur by the Region of Queens become the responsibility of the owner.
Thank you. So second to that motion. Councillor McLeod seconding. Special Councillor Hurley.
Oh, sorry. 4473 Highway 210, Buckfield, Queens County, Nova Scotia. PID number 701168 76. This is a standard parcel of land exhibiting 8.23 acres, and Ms. Sally owns all land on all three sides of her neighbors, noted as the Van Ordens, number 4497 Highway 210, Buckfield, Queens County, Nova Scotia. In June of 2015, I received a formal complaint regarding a recent installation of a makeshift barrier made of brush and barbed wire directly on the property line and installed by Ms. Sally herself. The formal complaint was that of an immediate fire hazard to both neighboring properties. However, the only concerned individuals at the time were the Van Ordens. Many conversations were exchanged regarding the supposed hazard, and then a final decision that it was truly a civil matter and that the Region of Queens Bylaw Enforcement Department did not wish to be involved. Several conversations with my superior confirmed the same. In July of this year, I received another formal complaint regarding the previous installed brush of approximately 1 year ago and one of several glass bottles installed and hanging from the brush. Another site inspection revealed changes since the year previous. The year-old brush intertwined throughout the barbed wire fencing was now severely dry due to the drought-like conditions this past summer. There was a concern of a potential fire from the dry combustible material. my site inspection results were considered much different in comparison from the year previous. Now I felt as though we had a potential yet possibly serious fire hazard which could pose an immediate threat to public safety or surrounding lands and buildings. Section 15 of the Municipal Government Act, Province of Nova Scotia, pertains to the dangerous and unsightly. Subsection R, dangerous or unsightly means partially demolished, decayed, deteriorated, or in a state of disrepair so as to be dangerous or unsightly or unhealthy, and includes property containing, subsection R2, an accumulation of wood shavings, paper, sawdust, dry and inflammable grass or weeds or other combustible materials. The offending property maintains an accumulation of inflammable material, being that of dry brush and glass bottles placed along the property boundary, which creates a potential fire hazard to the safety of the public. Thus, my very sincere recommendation to remedy the condition and deem 4473 Highway 210, Buckfield, Queens County, Nova Scotia, as dangerous and unsightly as described in the Municipal Government Act, Province of Nova Scotia. So I'll show you just a few pictures that I have accumulated over the course of the last year. This is the property noted as 4473 Highway 210 Buckfield, property owner Nina Selle. This is the neighboring property noted as 4497 Highway 210 Buckfield, property owned as Van Orden's. You can see where there was clearly a barbed wire structure that was installed directly on the property line, where Ms. Selle intertwined brush for various reasons. Since then, the brush is extremely dry. This property line and makeshift fencing is approximately 6 to 7 feet from the Van Orden dwelling. This picture just depicts the makeshift fence. It's made of lumber, barbed wire, and with the brush intertwined. This is a recently installed fence of approximately 1 year ago that was installed by the Van Ordens after the barbed wire fencing was installed by Ms. Selle. Again, another photo. This picture just depicts from Ms. Salle's property the condition of the brush and the potential fire hazard. Again, this photograph depicts the proximity of the dried brush makeshift fence to the Van Orden's back door. And this is Ms. Salle's property, again depicting the brush and the closeness of the Van Orden residence. This picture doesn't, because I took this photograph from a distance, you can see bottles hanging from some previously cut brush and trees along the fence line, where again Ms. Selle erected another makeshift fence, cordoning off her property. And we have bottles hanging from the trees. As we see, it could be a potential fire hazard. And this is what the Van Ordens see outside their back door. And again, potential fire hazard. This was taken, as you see, previous to the dryness of the brush. And in the background are chickens that have come over from Ms. Selle's property. That's one of the main reasons why the brush was installed.
So. Okay, just turn the lights back on, please. Discussion. You have a motion. Would anybody like to speak on the motion?
It should be noted that, the property owner Nina Selle, 4473 Highway 210 Buckfield, is present today in council, along with her neighbor Kathy Van Orden, 4497 Highway 210 Buckfield.
So, would you like to address council?
Excuse me.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Would you, do you stand then and, if you'd like to address council, yes.
Yes.
You may come forward if you like, or do it from there, whichever is convenient for you.
Well, if you can put up a picture of the gate, and then there's brush on the side, can you show that picture?
This one?
Can you enlarge it, I can see it from there.
I don't think it can be enlarged yet.
This one, Nina, or the one previous?
Yeah, that one's good as well, and then the one with the actual gate.
Okay.
So this one and that one, yeah.
This one, yes.
And then there's also the side one where you said there were the bottles, there's, there like.
Well, it's this one and.
Right.
This one.
Oh, okay, right. I see them there. Okay, so that brush and the other brush isn't my brush. I did not put that brush there. That brush was cut because they had access to my well. So when I first started constructing it, I actually built the fence around it. You call it shoddy or makeshift. But that's the fence, that's the material that was there that I worked around. That is not my brush. My brush is the one on my property that is around the backyard of their house and around the side of their house. That is my trellis. It's not a fence. It's not attached to the fence. It's between the barbed wire and the trellis, the tripods.
Did you install the bottles?
I put up those bottles, yes. I put up those bottles, correct.
So the Van Ordens cut the brush. It's still considered.
The brush is there way before, but probably
right.
A year before that.
It's still
like
a potential fire hazard.
But that's not my brush. But that's not my brush, and the other stuff on the side there, that's not my brush either. I worked around it with the barbed wire because their brush was in the way. Okay. The other one that you saw with, you're calling this brush, right? The other one is with the pine branches. That's my work. That work was to keep, well, actually, what you're saying.
For various reasons.
To keep the chickens up.
No, that was one of
done.
Various reasons as to why it was
the
installed.
The fence was not completed when the chickens came out to their property. In fact, the chickens were located all the way down to the barn, very far away from their house. Somehow they found their way across the livestock fence into my garden and into their garden. The fence was not completed before those chickens got out. Apparently they had been out for 3 days. I never got word of that. Their dogs killed 4 of the chickens before I heard the chickens screaming. I went and I pulled it, helped her to pull it out of the dog's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that's the thing. And then this is actually to have vines growing on them. There are hops, some Japanese vines that were supposed to have grown. They did not grow this year, unfortunately. I'm not sure why. The grass area is watered, even throughout the drought. I put a bucket of water along to get those roots to establish. I never have. That was supposed to be a material to hold the hops leaves so that they would hold up. Now, as for last year, Kellyanne, you had come over and we had a very great discussion, I thought. You pointed out a lot of things. One, that there was no issue with the bylaws. That fence in particular you were pointing to, you said that there was no issue. I have the I have a copy of the conversation if you would like to read it. In it, she says, fire chief, the fire and building inspector, had seen it, had no issue with it whatsoever, and that was July 30th of last year.
1 year previous to today.
Really?
1 year previous.
1 year previous.
Yeah, the brush was fresh, it was recently installed.
No,
a week.
This was already up.
I'm sorry?
This fence had not been completed. Half of it was already done. You knew exactly what was going to continue.
Absolutely, I'm not disputing that. What I'm saying, it's 1 year later and it's dry. Because of the summer that we've had with the dry, with the drought-like conditions and the lack of rainfall.
That's why I asked you if I can speak with the building and fire inspector, because what you had told me was that there was no issue with the brush whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did the inspector have no forethought that it would dry out?
It was considered to be a civil matter at that time. It was fresh brush, it was recently installed. No, the fence was not complete.
Right, but so, how, right. So if
can I finish? Can I finish?
Let's not develop a harangue. Would you like to continue, Ms. Halle?
Yes, please. If I had spoken to the fire inspector, as Ms. Hurley had explained to me, it was okay. It wasn't okay for the year, it was okay, period. So why the change now? Of course it dries out. You knew, the building inspector knew. Why did you allow me to continue to build this fence knowing what the condition would be in a year? Is this not what a fire and building inspector does? Why is it now that I am being asked to take it completely all down after the fact? Did he not know? Does he not understand what the nature of that material was? Of course he did.
And I understand your concern. He's not here today. Unfortunately, he's on vacation. However, it's...
Because that sort of makes the whole point. My whole point is, it was okay by the fire and building inspector. Now you're telling me conditions have changed. Did he have no forethought on that material? He okayed that material. That material was okayed. It was okay for me to continue, and now you're saying I have to take it all down. Same material, by the way, that they've had on their property for 3 years. On my property, too, they cut down my trees and placed it on that because they wanted access to my well. And now they've actually blocked the access by moving a building onto that same road that you came over and said, your gate, that's not a gate. They can't have access to the well. And I said, of course they can. Just open the gate. They can go through. But now they've actually moved the building that was on my property onto that roadway. So now there's no access to my well other than me having to go all the way around.
And I understand that, but it is
a
civil matter.
We have a point of order on the fact that we are discussing dangerous and unsightly and not accesses to wells, et cetera.
Exactly, but I'm allowing some latitude because obviously a property owner has a right to make a presentation to us, but do, Ms. L.A., please keep to the issues of dangerous and unsightly.
So the dangerous and unsightly part, was, again, okay last year, but building and fire inspector, who conveniently isn't here today. But a lot of talk has been going on about suing me, lighting it on fire. They threatened to hurt me. They threatened to take the tractor and plow it down. Now, this is all based on what? This section that had been already okayed by the fire and building inspector. This is an ongoing dispute.
So you've made your point there. Are there other points that you'd like to bring before council before?
I would love everybody to have listen to Kellyanne's conversation. I would also love to everybody to have a listen to the misogynist epithets that I have to deal with every time I'm in that.
Yeah, I think the only thing that we're interested in is whether or not this is dangerous and unsightly. The definition of unsightly is somewhat subjective under the terms of the Municipal Government Act.
Yes.
The dangerous, insofar as fire is concerned, is pretty straightforward.
Yes.
So if you have any new points, Ms. L.A., to raise,
yes.
Fine. If not, I'm going to throw the floor open to council for discussion.
That's right. So now the lovely part, right, the lovely fence is what Kellyanne Hurley called it last year. She said it was lovely. She thought it was lovely. I have all the quotes that she gave me.
But that with all due respect.
Unsightly, she said it wasn't. Nobody thought it was, and that I can keep it. She has spoken to the building inspector, fire and building inspector, and that's the material.
Thank you. You made that point, Mr. Lay. Thank you. Council, discussion. Councillor Fancy, Councillor McLeod.
Okay, I just look at it from the council's point of view, and our recommendation is the removing of the brush and the hanging and the hanging glass bottles, and I think we're saying that that needs to be done. So that's, to me, is straightforward to what we look at as a fire hazard and things that need to be done. Beyond that, I think that's all we're looking at, isn't it?
That's right. Jack, yes. That's the motion. Yes. Councilor McLeod.
I just have a question. I know that Ms. Saleh has been questioning the fact that the building inspector had improved and the bylaw officer had approved the fencing in the beginning. However, in any construction over the years, building inspectors do approve because they are standard and they are in good condition. But over time, things do deteriorate. That has certainly deteriorated from the initial inspection and approval.
Is that your fire and building inspector?
I'm saying any inspector.
Ms. Saleh, you've made your points. The council have the floor at the present time.
So the point I'm trying to make is inspectors do approve at certain points when they're constructed, but deterioration does occur, then the situation would change.
Okay, the issue is straightforward. Is it in September of 2016, is it dangerous and unsightly? What happened in 2015, it doesn't have much relevance. If this is dangerous and unsightly in 2016, we have an obligation to resolve the issue. Councilor Frelick.
I guess my question is, if the brush is removed, the structure of the fence can remain, and can there be new brush added so that the work put into the fence is not all lost? Is that an option for Ms. Saleh? Because it seems like the dry brush.
Certainly the barbed wire can stay.
Uh-huh.
If new brush or fresh brush is installed, we'll be right back here again next summer, probably.
Well, but if the vines that are planted on there grow or new ones planted, then I agree they do need something to attach themselves to. So if hops, for example, were grown over that, it would be a great wall of privacy for both sides, and it would, I assume, solve the problem.
So
but I'm just wondering whether the brush itself is going to force the whole thing to be taken down. If the brush comes out.
If you read the motion, it's clear. Removal of existing brush intertwined throughout the adjoining property line. Removal of hanging bottles. That's all in the motion.
My question is, if the brush is removed, will the structure remain there?
There's nothing in the motion to cause the fence to be removed.
The brush and hanging bottles. That's my recommendation.
Anybody else want to speak on the motion? If not, I take the question. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Okay. All in favor? Contrary minded? It is carried by a vote of 7-1.
6-1.
Six to one, I'm sorry.
My question to you, sir, is are they going to remove that other section by the gate? Because I did not do that. You're asking me to remove the part that they also.
Civil matter.
It's a civil matter.
So
only what's within your property, Ms. Saleh.
Okay.
Anyone
what's
is
within
on
your
property.
Property
now. Thank you, Councilor Hurley. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm moving on to the next item, which is item 8 on the agenda.
I did not understand. Who do I ask about?
You're going to see the bylaw enforcement officer. She will discuss
your
it with you.
Thank you.
Say that again. Okay. Good morning, Mr. Lane.
Good morning, Mr. Clark.
There's a recommendation here that comes under economic development. So Deputy Mayor Norman as the chair.
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality enters into a 15-year agreement with the Nova Scotia Drag Racers Association for the use of Socia Regional Airport for drag racing events and for the rental of the region's airport hangar building. And further, that the commencement date of the agreements will be October 1st, 2016.
Seconded by Councilor Fisk. Richard, would you take us through?
So the background is that we previously had 2 5-year lease agreements with the Nova Scotia Drag Racers Association, which were due to expire in May 2017. With the new arrangement with the South Shore Flying Club for the management of the airport, it was just felt that it was time to revisit those leases and bring them into line. The major changes are outlined in the recommendation paper, so the extension for the 15-year lease is probably the main piece to that.
Okay, so Councilor McLeod.
So Richard, you're saying then that both agreements expire at the same time over the 15-year period?
That's the point.
That's
so
the point.
It was really just to bring the lease arrangement with the flying club in line so that the two things come in tandem.
Yeah. So it doesn't change the original agreement that much.
It doesn't really change. Like I say, the main points of this new agreement are outlined in the table there for the two new leases. The main point about it is that it's a 15-year lease rather than a 5-year lease agreement.
Yeah. And there is a slight change in the rent.
There are some slight changes, which meant that it was easier to rewrite the two leases rather than make changes to the existing one.
So my question, I guess, is this has been discussed with the drag racers,
yep,
and they're in agreement, and I see Mr. Decker is here, and Mr. Decker, you're happy with all this?
Yes, we are.
That's great. Because our relationship with the drag racers has been excellent over the years.
Absolutely.
Okay, yes, Deputy Manuel.
I noticed somewhere in there that there's a cap on the $2,500 a year maintenance fund at $20,000. So does that mean that once the region's put in $20,000, it puts no more in, or does it, if it builds to $20,000, then the cap gets reached?
That's my understanding.
That it builds.
That it would build to $20,000.
When it builds to $20,000,
yeah,
then no more funds get in it. And my other question was, and I'd ask, it's a question I had that still hadn't been answered. The $2,500 maintenance fund, that's per year. access to the $2,500 maintenance fund, but we can build it to $20,000.
Yes.
So
yeah,
then maybe in 8 years there's $14,000.
Right.
So then you have access to a $14,000 maintenance fund that you can draw more than $2,500 off.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. It's in the lease with the flying club, and as I remember, that discussion was, it's for really tarmac repair primarily, isn't that right?
That sort of thing, yes, exactly.
So it stated carefully what that maintenance fund is, so it's not just diddled away on little things, that it's left to build to substantial amounts.
Correct.
Okay, further discussion? If not, are you ready for the question?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous by vote 6. And that then takes us to the VIC report. Can you give us a report, please?
Sure. So normally speaking, we would give a sort of report on the tourist season at the end of the season. We've had a few changes this year with the departure of the VIC manager, who's gone for winter employment opportunities. So we have replaced, or we have somebody that's coming in to fill in the gap between now and our usual closing date, which is Friday, October 7th. And just maintaining services and opening hours as we can there. In terms of visitation, you may have seen reports in the news of fairly substantial increases across the province in tourism this year. And that's certainly true, and it's something that's mirrored in the accommodation room nights, which is one of the main measures that we use for the South Shore. So for example, in July, accommodation nights for the province as a whole have been up about 6%. Actually on the South Shore, we're up about 10% in that same period. So the South Shore is certainly doing relatively well. We don't get stats drilled down further than that until the end of the season when those stats are available to us. And we're also subject to various criteria when we ask for statistics on Queen's County itself to maintain the confidentiality of businesses that submit those stats. It's sometimes you can't get statistics for certain sectors just for Queen's County. But certainly from looking at it from the South Shore, up 10% in July this year. We have stats for the other months of this year, and generally speaking, it's been a very good year. And that's certainly anecdotally when you talk to the accommodation providers, that certainly seems to be a pattern that they're feeling. The visitor numbers going through the Visitor Information Centre in Liverpool and Caledonia are fairly static, so we're down about 1% in August numbers for the Liverpool VIC and up about 1% in Caledonia. Not terribly significant, but what's interesting is perhaps that the numbers through the VIC are relatively static, whereas numbers of visitors to the South Shore are up substantially. So we have numbers for Four Point Lighthouse. Obviously, we're not operating the lighthouse this year. And the numbers there are up about 1% for the August period this year over last year. The same for July. Further back than that, it's hard to make comparisons because the opening times were very different last year over this year.
Questions, Susan?
Richard, are they able to determine where the visitors are coming from? Do you have stats on their, or you know, where
they certainly do have, yeah. I mean, we keep detailed stats at the VIC for provenance, so where visitors are coming from. So that's the same for, and those we gather those statistics, which are a mandatory ask for the province. They're submitted on a monthly basis from Liverpool VIC and Caledonia VIC. The stats department of the province do compile that information. It's obviously fairly complicated to work your way through. It's a lot of statistics, but I think there's no huge change over what we would normally expect. So Queen's County, our main visitor market is still Atlantic Canada, followed in importance by Quebec and Ontario. The numbers entering the province from Yarmouth are down substantially from last year, but numbers travelling by air and by road are up to Nova Scotia. So things kind of
balance out. So mode of transportation has changed.
Yeah. Or is it? Or you find each year that there are changes, and that's just impacted by, you know, the ferry timetable, the air timetables, which airlines are coming here, and so on and so forth. When you look at the stats, the numbers coming to the province from the UK are actually slightly down at the moment, but that's compared with 2015, which was a very big year. So
it's because you all came to visit and now you all live
that's
here.
Well, that's right. Yeah, it's all one way tickets. Yeah.
Councillor Fancy, on that, it could well be Brexit that impacted.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Councillor Fancy?
I know going around now, starting to talk to some people, I get some strange accents. May not be so strange.
That's what they think when they talk to us.
It may not be strange to you.
Yes.
One thing I just want to ask the manager of the VIC, is she going away for winter employment? Is she going to be back next year or not?
We don't know that yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that position will be up for will be advertised at the, in advance of the start of the season.
Thank you, Councilor McLeod.
Just one point to let everyone know that the Penny Lane Enterprises will be occupying the BIC for how long?
They will be operating year round.
Mm-hmm.
So after Thanksgiving, they'll be there Monday to Friday, 10 till 5, I believe. And then they'll open a little more frequently in the run up to Christmas. There may be a slightly, you know, reduced hours January to February just because it is quiet. But they do intend to operate there year round.
So the shoulder season of visitors coming could still go there and...
They can, and we were not expecting them to deliver
okay.
visitor information
okay.
services.
Yeah, I know
that's
that.
Our
yeah.
responsibility.
Yeah.
But they have carried out training in World Host certification as an opportunity for their clients to to train and learn.
Deputy Mayor Norman.
If we're not going, if we're not expecting them to deliver visitor information stuff, then I think we need to either decide we're not going to, or we are going to, and supply them with something, rather than just say we don't expect them to,
mm-hmm.
and then other people hear that the VIC is still open. That's one of those messages that we need to be really clear on. We either supply them with stuff, or we don't supply them with stuff and say it's not a VIC. Because that's one of those mixed messages things that always gets us in trouble. So what is the decision?
So for clarity, the model that was approved for this year, which is what stands, is that there was a manager and then a number of seasonal staff operating the VIC. Penny Lane was going to be in there. We offered training to their supervisors who were well qualified to do this. We don't have an expectation of them operating the VIC. However, they are there. We thought that it would be just helpful to do additionally. Right now, our intent is to maintain the model approved that during VIC season, there's going to be a manager and counselors there as appropriate. We're going to debrief with everyone here in the next month or so, because there may need to be some tweaks that we recommend to council. For example, likely with the way the weather's going, we should have more than one counselor from the September to October closing, which the current model would have done. Probably need one and a half or two. No, absolutely, we'll maintain the VIC model at this point.
Any other questions? I must say the people I've talked to who are in the hospitality business have been very, very gratified
yeah.
with the...
And if I could add, actually, so the TIANS, the Tourism Industry Association of Nova Scotia, are responsible for inspecting all of the visitor information centres as part of their quality standards programme, and they have criteria that they judge a VIC against. And we did receive what they quoted as a top-notch report for the Liverpool VIC. We were complimented on the creative use of the space, and they felt that having Penny Lane Enterprises in there added substantially to the visitor experience for people coming to Liverpool.
Okay, any other questions of Richard? If not, thank you very much, Richard. That brings us, anything under corporate services, Councillor Fisk?
Yes, Mayor Clark. Myself and the CAO attended a meeting yesterday in Bridgewater concerning fire regulations in the different fire departments of our in our districts and around. It included five municipalities at that meeting, and I got to say, after being there, that I'm very pleased with the way that we operate our fire departments and how our fire chiefs and our firefighters, we work together as a group, and I'm very proud of that. So, and I'm sure our men are too. So, we work together, and that means a lot. And things happen very good for Queens. Thank you, Mayor.
You know the old saying, and I apologize for using a cliche, that the proof of the pudding is in the cooking, and certainly the way our fire departments cooperated and worked together during this particularly bad summer. It was an example for everybody. I think
exactly.
It was outstanding. Yes, Councillor.
Something I think I want to bring up into this area is that I was out yesterday collecting up some garbage, and I went under the underpass on the west side, and I found a catalog, and it was half burned.
Oh.
That scared me.
Sure.
Somebody must have threw that out the window, half burned. I mean, if it isn't just going into litter, if that thing would ever caught into the grass, where would it gone to? So I think our littering is starting to get into something even bigger, that if we're not careful, where this is all turned out to be. And I was going to take it right up to the police station, but anyway, I was collecting garbage, just took it over there and got rid of it. But that's that I didn't like.
None of us would. I mean, it's a continuing problem, this whole littering thing, and no one, I don't think, has come up with an answer. We've asked for fining, we've asked people of the police to keep an eye out for it. I don't know where else we go. Anybody else like to speak on matters pertaining to corporate services? If not, then I'd ask Brad to come forward, engineering and works. You're the deputy chair of that?
Yes.
So if you would be kind enough, in the absence of Councillor Waterman, to make the motion.
I so recommend that the council of the region of Queens Municipality approve the tender number PW08-2016/2017 trucking of bulk salt be awarded to R&T Trucking for the quoted price of $37.80 per metric ton plus HST for the 2016-2017 winter season.
Seconder for that motion, Councillor Fisk. Brad, do you want to give us a briefing on that?
Sure. The low bidder performed our services 2 winters ago and had in the past. Beyond that, has gave us good service. We wouldn't expect it to be any different this year. The second bidder was the service deliverer from last year, so they're all pretty well experienced. All three of them, in fact, have hauled salt for us in the past. So they're all well known, pretty tight bidding, slightly under last year. So provided the winter behaves itself, we should be in shape.
Okay, discussion, questions of Brad?
If question. Not,
all in favor? It's unanimous, thank you. And Brad, you're gonna give us some information on a couple of other issues?
Yes, someone asked me to just update on the lake level at the town lake. That's the water utility for Liverpool area. And of course, we monitor that daily because that is our watering plant up in that area, so we see it daily. We record it weekly, and we do that every week, year in, year out basis. Currently, the level is about 1.5 foot below the overflow level, the spillway, and that's about 1 foot lower than it was last year this time. So it's not substantially lower. You probably would think it would be lower than that. But it's about 1 foot lower, plus or minus a couple inches. Now, and that's about the same for the last few summers. Now, the summers of 2010, 11, and 12, it's actually all within a few inches of those summers, and probably 2010 being the drier of all of those in the past. So although it is quite a drought and the water levels are down, there are some dry wells, domestic wells, the level in the lake is holding reasonably well. It's certainly not at any level that would cause any immediate cause for alarm. Mm-hmm.
Councilor McLeod.
Brad, when fire departments are filling people's wells and that sort of thing, where do they get their water supply from?
They get it at the hydrant right back of the fire hall. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just asking, is that a personal concern or reasons? So when they fill it, like the water it's potable water or whatever.
It is at the time they fill it.
At the time they fill it, yeah.
You know,
okay, I understand.
You know, it's got chlorine in it,
yeah.
And chlorine will, it doesn't last forever,
yeah,
when it's in water.
But
water
it doesn't harm any of the old dug wells.
Yeah.
Other questions? Councillor Fisk?
Brad, just the well, the where we get our water, the drinking water, is that staying at a good level at all times?
The town lake? That's what I spoke of.
No, the town well.
Where we get our water.
Where we get our drinking water.
The town well.
The town well.
Public well.
The public well.
We don't get our drinking water.
I'm sorry, pardon?
No.
We don't We don't get our drinking water. That's a free service to users, right?
No, 1 minute, it's staying at a good level.
And that gets used, you know, year in, year out. There's a higher use right now, no doubt about it. And there are times where it gets a lot of flow through that. And when you get a lot of flow, I mean, it'll stir it up a little bit. You will get a little bit of dirt. Not really dirt, but discoloration. And there was a little hit there last week. It got discolored, but it cleared right up right away, right? But that's been holding well, right? Considering the amount of water that's been going through it.
Council Fancy, then Deputy Mayor Norman.
Okay, I got two questions, Brandon. I'll just put them both together, because I know if I ask the one, then I'll lose the other one. So I'm going to put them right together.
You're taking longer getting the preamble done than you're asking the question.
Absolutely, but I've done it before. I go to go two questions, then first thing, I don't get the second
question.
No, you've
done it again. Go ahead. You might be listening to Bill Cox.
There you go, Bill. You taught me something. The Milton Bridge, how are we making out with the lighting situation and I don't know if you know of anything where we are with that. The other thing too is over to with the well, if the water level could be, the water table could be getting lower. I don't know how many gallons per minute, like 15 gallons per minute that maybe that well would put out. And if you had three taps on all at once, maybe you could get it to that. You're not getting that now because of what the table is. Could it be possible just to let one of the taps not be used, like shut that off, so you could only get, would that help that?
I wouldn't restrict that well. The well is, the well is working okay.
Yes.
I mean, discolored water is better than no water.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So, it's a free service. Right. I wouldn't worry about the Cowie well until there's something to worry about.
Let
the people draw the water there that need to draw the water, and it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
And your second question?
The lights, sir. Richard, I don't have
Mike's
anything
on that.
Lights.
We can get you an update. I don't know it. Right at this minute.
Councilor McLeod.
Just a brief update on Markland Avenue, Brad. How are things going there?
All the underground in Markland is in. That would be the water and the sewer storm lines. The main water line, that'd be the one that was installed, the underground one. We're switching today, or completing the switch, I should say, from the temporary water line to that permanent today. So that will all be will be done today. In the process, and we'll be continuing to install the catch basins and prepare the road base for gravels. That will be ongoing for the rest of the month. I would say towards the end of the month, perhaps 1st of October is when it would get.
So reinstatement of people's properties that might have been, disrupted, whatever. That's all.
This month's
that's all.
Work.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? I've got one. Yes, Deputy Mayor.
Brad, you mentioned that the water levels about the same as 2010, which was a pretty dry year.
Yep.
2010, we didn't have Brooklyn users hooked into there yet. And I know you'll keep monitor of that. If we don't get any rain forecasted, it's kind of non-looking for long-term stays.
Well, one of the things.
So things like people watering lawns, like sprinklers and that kind of stuff, those are the sort of things.
We would enact those measures when we need to.
When you need to.
One of the things we are going to do, now normally twice a year you flush the water lines through the hydrants and so on, and you can use a fair amount of water. We'll suspend that this fall. We won't do that unless the lake rebounds within the next month or so, right? You like to do that twice a year, but if you have to do it once a year, that's fine too, and we'll do it again in the spring. So we probably won't flush this year just to preserve that extra little bit of water, although it's a prudent thing to do. Is it absolutely necessary to suspend that? Well, it's better to be safe, I guess, right? So we won't be doing that this fall.
Any other questions? Yes, Councilor McLeod?
This isn't a question about engineering, but fire bans. Just update us on the fire ban in the province or locally here.
Probably asking the wrong guy.
Does anybody know? I mean, I'm just.
I talked to the fire chief in Caledonia on Saturday, who said that the hazard in that area is high, but if the weather continued, it would go back to extreme.
So I can comment because I did a daily check. Mm-hmm. Every day at 2 o'clock, you go to the provincial fire ban website. There's a provincial map. Every county's on it. is divided into, the colors are yellow, which means restricted, which means you can only burn after 8 o'clock at night, or 7 o'clock at night to 8 in the morning. There's green, which means everyone can burn, and there's red, which means no burn, and every day it changes. So every day you have to check at 2 o'clock. Yesterday, Queens, Hants, Shelburne, Colchester, and Pictou. Total red, no fires.
No fires anytime?
No fires anytime, no provincial campground, federal campground, nothing. Total
ban.
So if you get caught burning, you are fineable.
That's what
so
I wanted to know.
As if people like to burn in their backyard fireplaces, every day, 2 o'clock, you need to check it. Wouldn't hurt the region of Queens to check it every day, 2 o'clock, advise your citizens. Most people are totally unaware of that thing, and it's fineable, and they fine. But every day, 2 o'clock, on the dot. And you can't figure the rhyme or reason to it, because we were red, Shelburne was yellow, Lunenburg was yellow. But today I think we're all gonna be red. You wait, you just watch, and so it's...
Maybe we could ask Heather to put a link on our website to that.
Sure.
Brett, one question I have, if I may. Where are we at on the skateboard park and the contract?
That tender closes this Thursday. We hope, provided, the tenders are, if there are any complications with the tenders, to bring that to council very shortly. And the language in the contract is for that to be completed this fall. That's all fine to say that, but, that's highly weather dependent, right? Because it's all, detail, concrete finishing and so on. And if we have a lot of wet weather this fall, that will delay it.
So, given all of that, and all of the precautionary comments you made,
yes,
would it be helpful if the contract, if when you get the tender and it looks clean, would it be helpful if we had a special council meeting to approve that?
Yeah, I think it would, because to use a saying, a week's worth of work this time of year is worth a month in December. So it would help our schedule advance just that much more of a week of clean, good weather.
So once you see the contract or the tender tenders on Thursday, would you be in a position that we could then ask the clerk to schedule a meeting for Tuesday? Okay, so we'll put you tentatively on notice for a special council meeting at 9 o'clock on Tuesday, but that will be confirmed as soon as Brad gives the green light.
Okay.
Does that work for you?
Yep, that'd be great.
Does that work for you?
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there anything else anybody would like to ask Brad about? Brad, thank you.